My new super smart Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra keeps me a step ahead thanks to Now Brief with Galaxy AI. It shows me my daily appointments at a glance so I can focus on my passion, posing my pups to recreate French paintings. Bruno, you look like a princess.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that streamlines your day so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Displays daily select info from select apps. May require internet connection. Galaxy AI features by Samsung free through 2025 and require Samsung account login.
At Capella University, we believe accessible education can make a difference in people's lives. That's why we offer scholarship opportunities to all eligible students. Whether you're considering a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, our teams will walk you through the process and help you get the savings you are eligible for. Furthering your education is an investment in yourself. Entonces, ¿qué estás esperando? Un futuro diferente está más cerca de lo que crees con Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
Off the ball, GAA.
Hooks are not allowed in hurling, lads. Seamus might disagree with me and say it was soft, but he stood him up, but he had his hands around him and he literally hooked him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
You are welcome to the LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle with you this week. And as ever, I am joined by league-winning manager with Dundalk and midfield enforcer, Vinnie Perth, and the former Derry City midfield maestro, Gareth McGlynn. Lads, how are you doing?
All good, Steve-o. How are you?
Are you good, Steve-o?
Yeah, in great form, lads. And I tell you, like, after a brilliant weekend and a brilliant opening weekend to the SSE Airtricity Men's Premier Division season. So much to talk about. We'll try and get in as much as we can. I do want to start, though, on the game in the showgrounds because we didn't get too much time last week in our preview pod to focus on Sligo Rovers and Waterford. Of course, champion Shelburne and Bohemians opened with wins over Derry City and Shamrock Rovers, respectively. Drogheda United held the title challenger St Patrick's Athletic to a draw at Richmond Park. Newly promoted Cork City also earning a point at home against Galway United. But as I said, starting with the showgrounds game, Waterford 2-0 up against the host Sligo Rovers at half-time. The Bitter Red pulled one back before missing a penalty after the break and then conceding another brilliant late Jad Hakiki goal. What a goal it was to make it 3-2, but that's as good as Rovers could muster. Obviously, lads, with every game and every club we speak about today, we're not making too many definitive judgments after week one. But how, Vinnie Perth, would you assess Waterford after that game?
I think there's a lot to like about Waterford. I think I obviously said it last week. I think the manager has done a really good job over a long period of time, and in terms of his recruitment and his ability to bring young players in and make them better. But also, I think he's been very clever in the signing of Andy Boyle. I think that's a really good signing in terms of that experience Andy will give the team. I think in many ways, this might sound, I don't know whether it's going to sound wrong or not, but Andy is probably suited to the pitch, if that makes sense, in terms of it feels a little bit tighter. And it's not Andy's legs aren't gone, but I think he'll get around and do really, really well. So, I like the look of that. Keith obviously knows how to bring in a lot of good players. Noonan looks a really good player. But when you've got like Tommy Lonergan and Porrick Ammon leading the line for you, you've got a real chance. So Keith's been really clever in his recruitment. Horton done really well for them last year. I know a lot of Bulls fans were probably surprised how well he done, but probably the one I really like is Ben McCormack. Like he has the potential to be a really late developer. He was at Pats, probably couldn't force himself into the team, probably felt he needed to go away and play. And he's that midfielder that can make things happen, sort of plays, when he does play, he can play in that number 10 role, but also has real good footballing ability. So he's the one I really like there, and I think Keith's recruitment has been really, really good, and he knows the League of Ireland, so yeah, they've done really well.
Yeah, and just on Andy Boyle, because you're saying about the legs and stuff, that's why we're kind of saying it is a back three, isn't it, that Waterford have gone with this season? Because I know Keith was always big on the 4-2-3-1 at Bowes and right through to Waterford, but do you think that's there's a couple of extra centre backs, obviously Rutkowski and Horton around him, to make up for the issue you talk about there? Vinny's frozen there a bit.
Like, am I back? Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to make the point that Andy has gone slow or anything like that. It's far from it. Like, I just think that pitch and that organisation level that Andy gives, he's not gone slow or anything like it, but he can still get around the pitch, absolutely. So I think Cleese being clever, like, back trees aren't, I'm not a lover of back trees, but if I had the players and the sort of people that are suited by them, I would definitely use one. I think the advantage Waterford have of playing the back three is it gives them an opportunity to get Lonergan and Padraig Gammon on the pitch and leading the line. And we've seen so many teams at the start of the season go with close to two up front. We've seen Derry with Bison, Hooban. We've seen Shells with, obviously, Meepo and Boyd. So it is a trend where we've seen a lot of forwards in a lot of teams where we went so long without centre forwards. So look, Andy just knows how to win. He's a great guy around the dressing room. Serie League winner. Has it all.
Yeah, I definitely think that experience that he brings.
So just getting a little bit older and yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sorry, Vinny, you're a little bit delayed there on the connection. But yeah, look, I think that experience he brings, it's a bit like John Mountney at Bohemians, Sean Gannon at Shelburne. That league-winning experience they've had with Dundalk is a huge asset in those respective dressing rooms. We were speaking before we came on air, Gareth, as well, about what Vinny talks about there, the two up top, and Tommy Lonergan and Padraig Gammon. And look, we saw Padraig Gammon last season as well. He's 36 years of age, but he does still have that bit of pace. Maybe he won't be able to keep that up throughout the whole season or for 90 minutes in every single match. And is that where you see Lonergan coming into his own as well, just having that pace around Padraig Gammon?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, what surprised me last year, it blew me away how Ammon played Friday, Monday, the whole season. I don't think he missed a minute the whole season at Waterford. That was incredible at his age. But you're right, having Lonergan up there will support him and it'll create more space for him. So basically last year, all the defenders, whether it be three at the back or four at the back for the opposition team, all they had to do was concentrate on Ammon and they still couldn't handle him. So with Lonergan there now, it'll be an extra distraction. And then you've got, and this is the thing that I like up the spine of Waterford, is they've got goals. Noonan gets into the box. He's that old traditional midfielder that he just doesn't pretend to get into the box and sit at the edge of the box. He actually gets into the box and he can get into the box without the ball. And then you've got the two boys behind him supporting him. So listen, Ammond will be delighted to see another striker upside him. And I think that's why they've gone three in the back. Three at the back's becoming more popular, obviously, to get the two on up front.
Yeah, even you see with back fours now, sometimes you'll have a fullback that goes right up the field and leaving the three defenders behind. I just thought, interesting that you mentioned, Gareth, about making space. That's an interesting one as well, because I suppose the one thing about Ammon being the expert striker, centre-forward that he is, he's able to sniff out really good positions in the box, and maybe that's a big part of it then as well. How does Lonergan do that? It's all about pulling defenders out of place, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. It's just another threat beyond the back four. And Noonan's got a big responsibility to do that as well, because, I mean, for too long now, defenders, whether it's four at the back or three at the back, have just been happy to sit there and marshal and have everything in front of them. You see the teams that have got pace and that get beyond. We've got Pats who've got pace. We've got now Shells up front with the two boys who can go in behind. I mean, that's been a big problem for Derry City last year. Nobody going in behind. Everybody's showing defeat. It's a massive problem. And I tell you what, see, when you're a defender playing against people that play in front of you, it's happy days. You could play with a cigar in your mouth. But see, when people start turning you and going in behind and there's balls in behind, brings on pressure, gets your defenders and your midfielders up the pitch. There's too many teams that don't have that, but Waterford have it in abundance.
Can both of you give me your views on Waterford's season ahead? Because they started off absolutely brilliantly last season, a newly promoted side. They look like they might compete for Europe, and then it just went a little bit downhill as the season wore on. What were the issues there with consistency across the full season? Was it to do with squad depth? Is there anything you see different in that Waterford squad now, Vinny, that might mean that they don't suffer what they did last season?
We don't know, is the honest answer. I think it's a competitive league. I think they've achieved, I don't want to say what you'd expect them to achieve, Keith Dunne. I think they had a really good spell middle of the season where things went really, really well. They probably don't have the strength and the depth of other clubs, and particularly the Dublin clubs, and the money they can spend, and it's a bit harder to attract players. They've also had a lot of loans that came in and out. I think Parsons is a big loss for them going forward. So, look, at times they were excellent, and particularly the front three. Some of them players have moved on because of the loan situation. So I think they'd be comfortable somewhere between that sort of seventh and anywhere between seventh and fourth position. I think that's up for grabs between them. Obviously, Bowles, Galway, all of them teams are in and around that. And if a Drogheda or a Cork have a really good season, then they'll put a couple of them teams potentially under pressure. So I think they're all in that sort of similar boat. So, look, I'd always back someone like Keith Long to do really well because of his knowledge of the league.
Okay. People might bear with us. Just Vinny, sometimes your line's just slowing up a bit, but we will soldier on. Sorry, Gareth, you were going to say about Waterford.
Yeah, I mean, you can see at the weekend on the bench, they only had 2, 4, 6, 7 on the bench of a possible 9. They're obviously light. There's no doubt about it. And that's what happened last year. But if you look at it as well, I mean, if they were to lose 3 or 4 of those starters, there'd be real worry with Waterford. I think they are going to go through stages where they win 2 or 3, 4 in a row, and a bit like last year. But if they were to get a few injuries, I would really worry for them, and they might go through stages of the season where they just have to grind in. They just have to go back to the wall, pick up a few draws, pick up a scrappy 1-0. But then other times when they have everybody fully fit and they're gung-ho, which we know Keith Long likes to play. I mean, when he was at Bowes, Waterford last year, they were a joy to watch at times. Yes, they left the back door open at times, but that's really enjoyable to work. To watch. So there will be ups and downs for Waterford next season, no doubt about it. I think a similar season than last season will be expected from Waterford.
Look, as ever, everybody was predicting Sligo Rovers could be in relegation trouble this season. It happens every year. Was there, Vinny, any signs in the way they finished that game? That bit of fight that they showed, you know, Jad Hakiki coming out to score that brilliant goal. Like, would you be walking away from the showgrounds as a Sligo Rovers fan thinking, yeah, I think we might be okay here for the season? I think we might have lost Finney there. So look, Gareth, you're still with us?
Yeah. I think the crowd as well at the showgrounds was unbelievable. It was a bumper crowd. And they went away happy. Yes, they were beat 3-2, but they went away entertained. I mean, Waterford got 2 early goals, which were massively important. After that, Rovers did push them hard. It's not as if this was a one-sided affair. They had 12 shots on target, 25 shots in total. Like, they were entertained and they could have scored a lot more goals. Hakiki's goal was unbelievable. And in fairness to Waterford, they defended and their keeper made some very, very good saves as well. So the Sligo, listen, John Russell, the Sligo faithful, the players, they know it's going to be difficult this year. The likes of Fitzgerald, Malley are going to be so important to them.
My amazing new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra reduces noise in my concert videos with Galaxy AI, taking them from this to this. Now I have time to bejewel my favorite artist's faces onto jackets. This one really captures their eyes.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that reduces distractions so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with common video formats accessible in gallery. Helps minimize 6 select sounds. Results vary. Galaxy AI features by Samsung free through 2025.
At Capella University, we believe accessible education can make a difference. That's why we offer scholarship opportunities to all eligible students. Un futuro diferente está más cerca de lo que crees con Capella University. Learn more at capella.edu.
Obtén Now Internet. Es internet confiable, con datos ilimitados por $30 al mes, todo incluido. Sin contratos ni cargos ocultos. O sea, sin compromisos. Y los ahorros me los puedo gastar con mi familia en cosas que siempre hemos querido. Empieza a vivir la vida chill con Now Internet. Respaldado por la red de Xfinity. Visita es.xfinity.com/now.
Se aplican restricciones. Velocidades hasta 100 megabits por segundo. Velocidades actuales varían. Precio sujeto a cambio.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We've got Cian Kavanagh, who's a pointy proof. He was at Waterford, didn't work out. At Derry, didn't really get a chance. He has got a massive gripe with the proof is worth in that as well. And then we're worried when he comes back from injury, which, to be honest with you, looks like a worse injury than first thought. But no, listen, the Sligo faithful will stick to them. John Russell will get some good results as well. They've enough there. I mean, you saw in the game, Fitzgerald's pace was electric. Winning the penalty, creating a number of really good chances. He's going to be vital for them. But we talked about it before. Honan, losing him in the centre of midfield was massive. Everybody talks about the players further up the pitch that they lost. Yes, they're a loss. But he literally had his finger in the dam last year most of the time. He was the only one sitting in midfield, protecting a back four that kept changing. He was vital. So trying to get someone to kind of do what he did as well as he did will be difficult.
Yeah, and I know that was just a Freudian there from yourself, Honan. It was, of course, Niall Moore, and as you know yourself, Gareth. And look, I do think what Gareth's saying there is a good point, Finny, because, you know, even evident by the first goal, and I just thought Sargent's goalkeeping was a bit soft, and just they looked a bit soft in the centre Sligo overs. Is that something you think that they can address, or that John Russell can address with the team this week?
Yeah, I think so. I think there was enough green shoots in that Sligo performance. For me, there was a lot of stuff to like about it. So I think John has done a really good job over the last period of time. So I think we'd be all confident that, again, they'd be in that battle between anywhere between sort of 7th and 4th. And they had a really good run the last year. Recruitment is crucial. And I still think they'll do a little bit of shopping. If players are available, they will sign them. But they've got a lot of stuff right over the last sort of 18 months. Just got to be careful that the amount of recruitment that they're having to do, the changes they have to do, it doesn't affect them too much on the pitch.
Yeah, it'd be great to see a few more bums on seats behind that goal as well for Sligo Rovers. Hopefully they can get a few more fans, as you say, heading along as the season wears on. And look, Gareth, what about the goal? Chad Akiki. I said he came on, of course. He did start. Like, I was watching that goal and I'm thinking, he's got to pull this back here. He's got to pull it back. And he gets so tight and you're thinking, he's not going to shoot from there. And he does, and he bloody scores. It was unbelievable.
Looks impossible, doesn't it? I mean, and it was really lively the whole game as well, but it just shows you the confidence he has as well. I mean, everybody else would have pulled it back to the penalty spot or put it across the six-yard box. And Fitzgerald did it about 15 minutes before that. He put a lovely ball for the goal across the net, but he just, so much confidence. Obviously, he had a wee look up and there was nobody in there, and he thought, you know what? The worst I can do here is the keeper can save it and palm it out to one of our unrushing players. It was an unbelievable strike because it's probably the only place that he could have put it, which is above the keeper's head, hit the crossbar and down. I'm telling you, there was a lot of good things from Sligo. I mean, I know Vinny's saying there between 4th and 7th. I don't see them anywhere near 4th, 5th or 6th. I think between 6th and 9th is more realistic to Sligo. That's how much quality and how much turnover they've had over, not just last season, from last season, the year before that as well. I mean, John Russell is working miracles down there. I think it'll be...
Sorry, Gareth, and that's the thing, Steve-O, the amount of turnover they're having is making it really difficult. And I don't want to say they've been lucky, because that's good recruitment. They've got some really good players in. I mean, you look at Ellis Chapman, he was exceptional last year. Have they found the next Ellis Chapman? Have they found the next, you know, Pinkenar or whatever it is? I hope they have, because if you get it wrong, this season, particularly this season, you'll get punished in the league, you know, if you're not at it. And they're too good of a club to be under pressure there in terms of.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, the prize money from, or the UEFA money that's coming in as well for top flight teams, it's really important for them to stay in the top flight. I wanted to move on to Shamrock Rovers, and I suppose especially tapping into your own experience, Vinny, of having managed, you know, week to week doing league games and European games, and just talking about the balancing act that Stephen Bradley has to perform between last week, this week and next week, like playing Molde away from home, coming back probably early hours of Friday morning. I'm not sure if they would have done much training on Friday before the Dublin Derby. Then they're into Saturday, game on Sunday. And then you're getting ready then for the second leg against Molde on Thursday. Couple more days in between those games because you're staying in Dublin. But then they've got Cork City coming up on Sunday, and a Cork City team that will be really, I suppose, buoyed by that point that they got against Galway United. Good performance from them. And they might sense, you know, this is a real opportunity for us to go to Tallaght Stadium and try and take a Rovers team that are a bit weakened, Vinny, aren't they? They've, I suppose, Watts and Cleary suspended for the game against Molde. They lost Adam Matthews. How fit are these players going to be? How's Bradley looking at this week and the two games that he's got right in front of him?
I think the players will relish these games. It's obviously it's a challenge this time, this early in the season, but that's part of successful clubs. Rovers are serial winners over a long period of time. They know how to get the job done. It looks like they're short of a couple of players, but it did before the season started. The problem with picking up them suspensions is they're under a lot of pressure now to get over the line against in the European game. And what's ironic about that, if they'd have lost 1-2, there'd be less pressure on. The fact of winning going into that tie probably puts them under a little bit more pressure. From watching the game last week, I think they've enough about them to get over the line. Molde disappointed me a little bit. So I think they've enough about them to get over the line. My only concern is, and I said it last week, is they haven't replaced the pace and the directness they had last year when they were at their very best, particularly in Europe, of Ferrugia, Johnny Kenny, Dara Burns. That's a big loss for them. So I still think they need to recruit a couple of players. But heading into this weekend, I think if Cork are at it, it'll cause them problems. But, you know, this Rovers team, I was disappointed in them last week. And I think Bradley alluded to they create lots of chances. But he said that a few times last year as well. You know, we create a lot of chances. We should have won this game and that game. They've lost a lot of big league games. And I think they need to retain their title because or win back their title this year, because it ain't going to be easy to get back into European group stages in the route they're going to have to go. So I think winning the league this year is crucial for that club. I'm not saying they're going to struggle financially because of what this year will pay for, but Rovers need to be in group stages now. The Champions of Ireland should be in group stages every single year, bar the odd blip. So it's a big year for them. It's a big couple of months in terms of recruitment before the window shuts. And my concern last week was, to your point, Steve, was I thought Balls outworked them with intensity. That would be a concern heading into this weekend.
Yeah, Gareth, we were talking, I'm not going to reveal any secrets here, but we did speak about the fitness of Bohemians. It was quite clear to see. And is that something you would then, kind of feeding into Vinny's point there about Rovers being outworked and maybe lacking that bit of intensity? Was it down to Bo's superior fitness, or was it down to the fact that Rovers are managing their way into the start of this season with those European games around them?
Yeah, you've got to take the European game into consideration, Steve-O. I mean, across England, Scotland, Ireland, historically, the teams coming out of Europe, whether it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whenever they play, that game at the weekend, just it takes them a little bit of time to get going. It's pretty evident when we all watch the game, Rovers weren't at it in the first half. The intensity, the sharpness, there was a wee bit of grogginess there. Don't get me wrong, Bowes played an unbelievably high line. They were aggressive. They were pressing them, and they looked really fit compared to probably three or four seasons previously. Bowes looked sharp and fit. And Alan Reynolds, this is his first pre-season. He's got them fit. He's got them strong. And the depth that Bowes have now is incredible. Even if you look at the bench, the players that didn't even get on, James Clark, I mean, it's amazing. Whereas Rovers obviously a couple of injuries. They lost a certain amount of players. They just haven't replaced them, and you'd expect them. Healy, who looks good, by the way, I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a really good addition to Rovers, but they probably need two or three more. They need, as Vinny said, a bit more pace, a bit more directness. Listen, Noonan's doing unbelievably well. He's an absolute class act, but they need someone else up along with him, or to supply him as well. When you're playing Mandrea and Burke in there, there's not enough people getting beyond. I'll go back to this point again. You need midfielders. If you're going to play one up front, you need midfielders going beyond to create some space for them. You can't just be relying on that one player to be doing all the work. Johnny Kenny did it unbelievably well last year, but he had Faruja getting beyond. He had Dara Burns on the right-hand side, taking people on, getting to the byline. Rovers will depend a lot on their wing-backs to do that, especially if Watson and Mandrea aren't going to do it.
Yeah, well, they'll need Danny Grant to do that for them. They'll need, perhaps, Vinny, the latest young man that they brought into the team on Sunday, Ozzy Avuna, the young man that came in at left-back, to come through the Shamrock Rovers Academy. I think Shamrock Rovers supporters will be delighted to see this kind of thing, because I suppose it's something maybe Stephen Bradley didn't lean on the academy too heavily over the last number of years. They're now starting to see some of that young talent coming through into the first team. I'm sure supporters are happy. What did you make of that young man's performance?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I felt he was a little bit unlucky not to score. I think the ball just got caught under his feet a little bit. But I know people in Rovers think really highly of him. To be fair to Rovers, a lot of really good young players coming through the academy system. They do that work really well in Rolstone, as do a couple of other clubs. It must be said, they're not the only ones doing it. Pats are brilliant at that balls, to be fair. So I think... I don't want to make an Alan Hansen statement here and say you can't win stuff with kids. Like, Noonan will do really well for them. He lead the line really well. These young players coming through. But if you're gonna go toe to toe with a Shells, a Pats, it looks like now, you've got to make sure you've got enough quality. And Healy looks a really exciting player. You can bring one or two young players in, but there's a reason why historically over the last 10, 12 years, almost the highest average age wins the league title. That's generally happened, whether it's been Dundalk or Rovers over the last couple of years. So you've got to be careful. You've got the balance right. As I said, I think it's usually important that you win the league title back or win a league title back this year. So I'm all for Noonan. I think he'll do really well. I'm all for these young lads coming through the system. But make sure you've got enough strength and depth in your squad, because again, they seem to be picking up a lot of injuries again. So that would be a concern.
I'm going to
One thing just before we leave Rovers, Steve-O, is one thing when you look at their squad, and the one thing I do like about Rovers and Pats and Bows now to a certain extent is defensively they look solid. There's been very little turnover. Bar Hoare leaving, they look solid and they look as if they have the options. I mean, there you've Cleary now suspended for the match during the week. I mean, Hoonahan will just come in there and slot in nicely. So at that base with McGinty and addition as the goalkeeper, I think that if they can just add one or two more going forward, I think they're all right in centre midfield as well. I think they'll have a real chance of winning their league.
Will they sign more players, do you think, the windows close Saturday, is it?
26. I think they have to, Steve-O. I think Stephen Bradley, he must have budget there. If you think about the three players that left, there has to be budget there and there has to be an appetite. You can't go on with Noonan as your main number nine. I know that you've the other two there, but Gaffney hasn't trained much. He hasn't played much. So I feel as if you have to add at least one more striker.
Yeah, because I have heard they've signed Gaffney back onto the books again.
Steve-O, do you need more players in the squad? And I don't, not that I disagree with Garrett. I accept what you're saying around. The problem is, if you're moving Hoonahan into that wing-back position, it's what you're losing as a result of him, because Clark is injured again and has had a lot of injuries. The challenge you have is, I think the squad depth, even a centre-half, Lopez got away with one the other day, in terms of that ball into midfield, and Bowes robbed them and almost gave away a chance. They've got to have a freshness in that centre-half position, or if Noonan's going to play as one of the centre-half, or Hoonan, should I say, have enough strength and depth in the right wing-back position. I think they need one or two big players into the squad, not young players coming through the system. So they have to sign. They may get someone who's out of a contract maybe, or released in that extends the window a little bit for them. We know they will have the money, but they have a big job to do over next week or two. I'm still making the favourites to win the league in my head, but they have a big job to do recruitment-wise over the next week.
The one thing I would say, and can I just say in Holohan as well, lads, that the first time I saw him was playing for Cork City at home to Bowes, the season opener two seasons ago, and he absolutely stood out like a sore thumb because he was so good. But he was playing on the left of a back three for Cork City. That's, I think, his best position. I don't think, look, I know he's played well at wing back. I think his best position is as a left of a back three. I'm not sure what either of you think of that one.
Well, the problem with that is Grace Demy is one of the, if not one of the best players in that position in the league. So you've got two of the best players in the league in the same position. So Grace, I don't think Grace can play left wing back. I don't think Grace is as adaptable as Hunahan. I mean, you all know how
you
much I like.
One of them on the right of the back three, Gareth.
So Cleary's position is essentially.
Yeah, so say he's suspended for tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, listen, he'll slot on there, no problem. Listen, he is super adaptable. You know how highly I think of him. I think he is the only player playing in League of Ireland right now with the ability and the skills to make the step over to England or further afield. I think he is that good. And he is. And you know what I like about him as well? He can play anywhere, and he is adapting his game, and he is improving his game. He's got like a growth mindset, because when he arrived from Cork, he was a good defender. Now that he's playing with Rovers, you always hear about him, Bradley, taking him away and doing attacking drills with him, finishing drills. He wants to learn. He's got that appetite. And every time I see him, he's played well. Away to Chelsea, left wing back. It was unbelievable. I think he's one of the best players in the league. And if you asked him to play in Nets, he would do it no problem.
Just before we move on to Cork City, and I don't want to labour this point because, look, we're recording on Wednesday. Podcast goes out on Thursday, so I think there's been a huge amount of analysis on Stephen Bradley's comments after the match. I think a lot of people have made their views known. A lot of people, I suppose, will be critical of Hamer Hallgrimsson in the same way that Bradley was. Some people saying that Bradley perhaps picked a strange time to make the comments when Hamer made his original comments back on December 13th. Look, I suppose just in general, there seems to be a feeling that maybe Hamer Hallgrimsson's comments were misinterpreted. English isn't his first language. The nuances of the English language maybe not something that he's accustomed to. So we might be able to give him a pass if himself and Bradley maybe have a conversation to clear things up. Maybe Hallgrimsson will address it at his next press conference before the international window in March. But if I could just get a brief reaction maybe from both of you just on what Bradley said and the general, I suppose, tenet of his comments.
Go ahead, Vinny.
I understand his frustration, but at the same time, there's nobody currently playing League of Ireland who can get into the Irish national squad in their 23. You can only name 23 players now. Their best player is Neil Ferrugia last season with Dylan Watts as well. Neil went to a League One club, albeit they may get promoted or whatever, but our League of Ireland players aren't at international standard at the moment. Yes, Rovers are doing remarkable things in Europe, but it's in conference. So that's just a harsh reality. People don't want to hear that. I'm not meant to say that. I'm meant to toe the party line and say Dylan Watts and such could play international football. They can't. We've got players basically in and around the Premiership, maybe high-end Championship in our squad. League of Ireland players aren't at that level at the moment. But the manager, the Irish international manager, needs to be more careful how he chooses his words, because, yes, there might be a language barrier, but don't disrespect the league, because we'll come for you.
he's right, and Bradley's right to pull him up on it as well. He's 100% right, timing wise, bit of a deflection tactics after getting beaten in the derby at the Aviva, but he's 100% right, and that's what it has to be. It has to be accountability. The Ireland manager has to understand how important the League of Ireland is and how important the League of Ireland will be in the next decade or two decades to the Irish national team. All the players are going to come out of Ireland now that the Brexit is, so he needs to be careful how he talks about it. And I think, listen, he's a smart guy. I expect some sort of response. This to be put to bed pretty quickly, and it to be all kind of kiss and make up.
Cork City, Are they looking any different to the way Tim Clancy set up his teams at St Patrick's Athletic and Drogheda United, Vinny?
Not really. No, I think that you're seeing more of the same. It was basically 4-4-2. Again, we spoke about 4-4-2s, Rory Keating and Sean Maguire leading the line. How exciting is that? They didn't have a huge amount of width in their team, that said. And probably what's interesting is Sullivan Wide, and help me, Dirkstiel, isn't it?
Dirkstiel.
Yeah. I think he's an exceptional talent. He's going to be a really, really good player. You know, albeit trusting goal for Galway was poor for Galway.
Cork City.
And Brendan's had a great couple of years, but he was poor for the goal. But he took his goal really well, and like I say, looks a really good player. So they've got exciting talent, Sullivan on the right wing and him on the left, cutting in onto his right foot. The challenge Cork had is they spent a lot of the time maybe 15 yards deeper than how they played last year, if that makes sense, because of Galway putting them under pressure. You look at the Galway goal, it's a brilliant long ball, it's a flick on within the ball going from the goalkeeper, within 7-8 seconds they've scored. So Cork had to guard against that, but interesting. I think Clancy, because of his experience at league, will do a really, really good job. I worry about them probably in sort of centre midfield. I know Greg Bulge had done really well, but probably need one or two really enforcements in that sort of position. But Macon's a really good side. Straightforward, really, really good young players coming through their lines. A centre-half is a good player as well. So a lot to like about Cork's forced out.
Yeah, I think obviously Colin Sullivan took a bit of a knock at the weekend. We're not too sure how serious that is. Hopefully it's not too serious, because so many people from the Rebel County were saying this lad's going to have a great season, so hopefully he is okay. I'll be interested to watch, Gareth. I've spoken to people around Cork City. I'm hearing maybe Dykstiel, one of the things maybe that he's lacking is just that kind of 100% focus right through the game, that he can tend to drift in and out. But I am also told that Trost, the goalkeeper, is absolutely sensational. This fella could be a big player for them as well this season. So maybe just a couple of little pointers there for anybody watching Cork City this season.
Yeah, 100%. A good goalkeeper is imperative. To me, when you come up from the first division, you need to have a good goalkeeper. You need to have a good defence. As Vinny said there, they're going to have to play a little bit different. I think they're going to have to be a little bit more shored up. They're not going to be able to be expansive. The four players that you mentioned there, Dykstiel, Keaton, Maguire and O'Sullivan, I mean, they'll frighten the life out of anyone, but it's going the other way. Will they be able to defend if they're up against a physical, fit, technical team? I think Cork's going to have some good results this year, but they're also going to have some bad results this year, and that'll be fine as well. But I think going forward, the keeper, some good young defenders, I think they should be fine. I think they'll pick up enough wins not to be around the bottom two.
Will they pick one up?
Hey, what would I give, Steve? How good did the shed look?
Ah,
amazing. What would I give to walk past the shed one more time just for people to give me dog?
I absolutely love ground. The only thing I don't like about Turner's Cross is when I have to go up to the commentary gantry at the top of the stand, because I'm not too fond of heights, I have to say, and it's you're kind of going up there. Oh, I hope I'm okay up here. Well, listen, great ground. It's brilliant to have it back up in the Premier Division. At Cork City, quick one, lads, on them. Like Sunday, is there a chance for them getting a point or three at Tallaght Stadium?
I think there is. Yeah, no, why not? I mean, you saw Waterford going to Tallaght last year. You saw Dundalk going to Tallaght last year and getting results. I don't see why not. Listen, it'll be a good thing that they're coming off of European exploits, because Thursday night against Mullet, it's going to be a tough game. I know Vinny expects them to go through. I don't know. Mullet looked good for the first 20-25 minutes out there before they went down to 10 men. I think it's going to be a tough game for Cork, but what a game for those players. The stadium, the atmosphere, the players they're playing against, it's going to be a good game.
Finny, when you are coaching players, and I suppose especially centre-forwards, well, I'll tell you something. I remember Alex Ferguson's advice to Ruud van Nistelrooy, I remember reading about this, when Ruud van Nistelrooy was going through a bit of a dodgy patch, he couldn't find the net. And Ferguson's advice to him was, when you get your next chance, just absolutely lash the ball at the goal and it'll go in. And once you get that first and then, you're on easy street. I'm looking at somebody, I'm not comparing Mipo Adebeko to Ruud van Nistelrooy. I'm not saying that he's going through a really bad patch. The guy's only started his season with Shelburne, but he had a lot of chances the other night and he wasn't able to put them away. Maybe he wasn't picking out teammates where he could have passed them in. When you're coaching, or Damien Duff is coaching Mipo Adebeko this week, after that match against Derry City, which of course they did win very convincingly, a reminder from Shell's supporters as well, Vinny, it is their title currently, it's not Shamrock Rovers' title, okay? Because I know Shelburne fans be giving out to us after this about, why did you let Vinny Pert say it was Shamrock Rovers' title? Anyway, Mipo Adebeko, Vinny, what are you saying to him this week if you're Damien Duff?
I'm saying to him, I think you want, the first thing you'll always say is, as long as you're creating chances, that's half of the battle. I mean, not scoring and your team still winning, that's just by the way. And I got the impression he was a little bit tick. He didn't score, which is in many ways is a good thing. I'm afraid to say, because this might, in case he gets 20-odd goals this year, that he doesn't look a natural goal scorer, if that makes sense. Now, he's, because of the team he's playing in, he'll get plenty of chances. He might score lots of goals, but I'm not sure he's going to score as many goals as people think. He doesn't look natural, but he's also, at the same time, a great foil for Boyd. And I think the two of them together will dovetail and score plenty of goals. But for him, I just don't think he's that natural finisher. I don't know.
We've lost Vinny's sound there for just a moment. Gareth, yeah, go on, Vinny.
Gareth, does that make sense? Sorry, he doesn't look a natural finisher. Do you know what I mean by that? He still might score 15, 20 goals.
Mm. Yeah.
Because of the amount of chances, but not easy to slide footballs into the back of the net.
Gareth, what do you reckon on that one?
I'm just glad he didn't score anymore. Friday night. Three was enough for me. He literally could have had a hat-trick. He had that many good chances. And Vinny's right, they were good chances. They weren't chances that you thought, you know what, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I think your analogy with Alex Ferguson's 100% right. I think once a one goes in, I think he'll have no problem. The confidence, it's amazing how when you get a goal as a striker or a forward player, the ability to put them in the corner and find the corners after you've scored becomes a little bit easier. But I think his movement, I would be more worried if he wasn't creating the chances. I think his movement was very good, especially in the transition. Whatever way that they've been working in pre-season, every time there was a transition in the middle of Fark and Derry, against Derry Shells, the first thought was to put him through on goal, and it worked three or four times. So in the counter-attack, I mean, it's a new dimension, the Shells, and it's one that should probably worry everyone else in the league. They really impressed me on Friday night.
Yeah, and they should be worried that they brought in a young left-back from Liverpool on loan, James Norris, who's going to be there for the full season. You know, maybe Ledwich moves inside then to play alongside Barris instead of Bone. I'm not too sure how that'll work out. You know, that back four was what that title win last season was built upon. And then you've got the brilliant Mark Coyle and McEnroy in front of them. The two men, a commentator's nightmare, it has to be said, McEnroy and Mark Coyle with the same hairstyles. But, like, they just look so solid.
I think he's the same bloody boots as well, for God's sake.
I thought it was Vinny Perth playing there with the bald head.
Still a little bit more hair. I'll tell you what I will say is because I was listening back to Rovers title, should I say, I did make that error. But Shells were so impressive on Friday night. Yes, Derry went good, but the recruitment there has been spot on. As you're right, I think Ledwich, you could probably deal with him going in as being another option at centre half. But McEnroy looks a hell of a good player. He ironically, he's a little bit deeper and he's making the play a little bit. But there's a lot to like about this Shelburne team. What was most impressive was the strength and depth on the bench as well. Real strength and depth on our bench. So I think if it's a bit like last year, they've made 2 points on everybody and people go, it's only one game in. I like the look of the Shelbourne team already. I think I'll be changing my mind who are favourites to be champions, because they were really impressive last week, I have to say. And I know people will say Derry were poor, but they done their business right on a can someone mention it, on a dodgy pitch. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Vinny, it's not as dodgy as your internet really leak poor at the moment, but I think there's been a lot of pitch discussion this week. So one thing I'd say about the pitch is we know how tough it is for Shelbourne with the drainage there. Bloody hell, we had 10 days with no sun in Dublin, and it's really hard for those pitches to dry out. I think we give it maybe another 4 or 5 weeks before we really start getting stuck into that. And look, there's nothing more boring than talking about pitches, is there? Let's talk about the bloody football. Bowes and Derry weekend.
Can I just say, though, sorry. Sorry, Steve, can I just say, on that point, right, I don't want to be the Eamon Dunphy of League of Ireland, anything, but we have standards in the league that we have to attain. Like, I manage a team that played on a car park, okay, up in Dundalk, so people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But first night of the league, the brand new TV deal that we're waxing lyrical about, and the amount of people who aren't League of Ireland people said to me, the pitch was awful. We've got to do a little bit better than what we produced the other day. We have to have a higher standard than that. We can't take the public for granted, and we've got to go up with our standards. And that also includes something like, I don't know whether it works. Can we do something temporarily on match night where we bring in some generators for extra floodlights when the games are on TV and that, and keep winning over new supporters? Don't produce stuff that's a little bit substandard. That's all. That's the only point. Somebody has to make the point
and challenge
running the league.
Yeah, you're completely right. No, you're absolutely right, Vinny. I would agree with you on that. And look, you know, some people did make the point that Damien Duff was, fairly quick to have a go at the referees last season and talking about standards and that kind of thing. And if you want to have really good referees, we're going to have good everything across the board, and that includes the pitches. So, Gareth, if we move on then to Bohemians Derry City, and we will talk about our commentary game on Friday night after that as well, as we come to the end of the podcast. And as I said last season, folks, we won't get to talk about every team in depth every single week, but don't worry, every team will get the fair coverage across the year. I suppose Bohemians will go up to Derry City with a lot of confidence this Friday night. Derry City, a lot of people talking about, you know, the age profile. And listen, you made the point yourself on the preview podcast this week, and it all developed into the kind of point that you're making, with the players maybe being a little bit, I suppose, old and not looking mobile enough. And look, maybe that was down to the pitch at Tolka Park. You know, do you expect a better performance from Derry City this Friday night, or do you still have those concerns about the squad and the age profile and how it looks?
I don't think we learned anything about Derry City on Friday night. We got exactly what I expected. You can't blame the pitch. The two teams had to play in the pitch. Shelbourne didn't have any problems playing in the pitch. They were very good. Any time they wanted to pass it, get forward, play through balls, it all looked to be fine. So we will not blame the pitch. The age profile was bad. Their pre-season and the intensity that Shelbourne brought to that game, Derry hadn't got it in pre-season. They played 5 pre-season games. They didn't play against good opposition. When Bowes come, and we talked about it before on Friday night, they will be firing on all cylinders. Unbelievable result at the Viva last week against their biggest rivals. They'll be coming up there. The internal competition, and we talked about it before, someone like Clark not even playing, they will be chomping at the bit. So I expect us to find out way more about this Derry City team now on Friday night in front of their home supporters. I'm expecting a massive, massive improvement. And Tiernan Lynch now, he's played with Larne against Shamrock Rovers. He knows what it's all about now in this League of Ireland. So he's got to adapt his players to be able to combat what's coming.
Gareth, what did you make of his post-match interviews? Like, were you kind of thinking, you know, were you impressed, or what was your view on it?
Listen, we got to give this boy a bye ball. I mean, any League of Ireland fan club thinks that you can come in as a new manager with no League of Ireland experience, with a pretty depleted squad, and just throw money at it and expect it to work, you're in dreamland. I didn't like his post-match comments. He was saying that that Shelburne weren't three goals better than Derry. Shelburne were more than three goals better than Derry. I thought he should have been accepting the result. I thought he should have been managing the fans' expectations, because I don't think that's been done enough in pre-season. This idea that Derry are going to challenge, I think that's not the case. I think if they finish fourth or fifth, I think that's where they'll be. So listen, he's learning as well. He's learning the league. He's learning about his players. He's learning systems. There's players that didn't play in pre-season that were thrown into that game. It just looked disjointed. But I'll be expecting a massive improvement now on Friday night.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. The games this weekend in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Drogheda United hosting Sligo Rovers on Friday night. St. Pat's away to Galway United. That's our radio game. I'll get Finney's quick views on that in a moment. Waterford entertain Shelburne. And then it's Bohemians away to Derry City. And of course, Sunday, the game we mentioned at 6 o'clock, it's Cork City away to Shamrock Rovers. Nathan Murphy will be doing live commentary on the game on Friday night between Galway United and St. Patrick's Athletic. Finney, it is over at AIMADC Park. They've signed on loan Cian Byrne, who I think is a very clever acquisition from Bohemians, on loan until the summertime for now. I do think Cian Byrne has a lot of potential, and I think under the guidance and tutelage of both Ollie Horgan and John Caulfield, he'll become an even better centre-back. He's not the finished product. He needs a bit of polishing, and I think he'll get that there at Galway United. But I suppose, Vinnie, St. Patrick's Athletic under Stephen Kenny, a lot of surprise that they didn't get a big win against Drogheda United last Friday night. The last place you want to go when you've drawn a blank is to play away to Galway United, the second best defence in the league last season. Are you still there, Vinny? Hello, hello, hello. I think Vinny's screen has frozen on us there. His line is gone. We'll hopefully get a better line with Vinny next week. Are you still there, Vinny? No, well, listen, Gareth, I might just get your views then on that Pats against Galway United. As I said, Nathan Murphy's going to be commentating. Oh, Vinny, you're there.
Overly shocked by the result.
Oh, my goodness. Right, well, listen, I'll tell you, Gareth, we'll persevere with yourself, because that line is very dodgy indeed.
Yeah, sorry. I'm in a bunker at the moment.
It's almost as if whoever is running that bunker is just opening the door every now and again, just let Vinny have a few words. Hopefully he'll be released at some stage so we can get to see a match on Friday night. But Gareth, if I could maybe just get your views before we wrap it up. As I mentioned, Pats, we know all the firepower they have, but as I said, going to Galway United, it's not exactly the fixture you want after drawing a blank against Drogheda the previous week.
No, it's and it kind of isn't, but at the same time, Stephen Kenny will be turning around going, listen, last week wasn't acceptable. I mean, he'll probably refer back, as he did in his post-match, about the disallowed goal that was either onside or onside. But the reality is, Drogheda defended way better than St. Patrick's attacked, and that's what it came down to. There wasn't enough going forward. They didn't create enough chances. Five shots on target at home to Drogheda, it's just not enough. So he'll be expecting a massive difference. But again, he's got the internal competition now to change it. Give all their players opportunities, and let's see how they get on. But Galway, you know what you're going to get down there. It's going to be physical, it's going to be direct, and it's going to be very, very tough. So listen, the sooner St. Pat's get 3 points, the better. They'll need it next week, because it doesn't get any easier as the weeks go on.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to listening to that game on Friday night. I won't be able to get up to Derry City, unfortunately, Gareth. But maybe that saves me from being stood up outside one of the bars. I jest. But I will be listening to the lads down at AIMADC Park and watching Derry City against Bohemians on LOI TV. Vinny, you're back with us. We might give you a quick word then on that game in AIMADC Park. How do you see it going?
I wasn't overly shocked by Pat's performance last week, because now there's a little bit of pressure on. We're going to see the real, are they good enough? I think the squad-wise they are, but what a difficult place to go. Galway going with a back three, which is interesting. Not really seeing John Caulfield do that loads of times before. I think Pat's will have a difficult. They have enough about them in the wide areas to hurt the back three, so it'll be interesting to see the Galway switch back to a back four. But I think I need to go and ring me Wi-Fi provider and have mortar with them, because I've had a bad day today, and I apologise. So really interesting weekend ahead, isn't it?
Finny, as the youth would say, I'm sending him a virtual hug across the airwaves there. I hope you're okay, and I hope the day gets a bit better. The sunshine is coming out, thankfully. And also, thankfully, Mr. McLean has got a Wi-Fi connection that is sharp as that haircut he's got going on there as well for the new season. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure as ever. I'm looking forward to the weekend action. I should mention as well, before we go, the First Division fixtures have been a great start. If anybody hasn't seen the video yet of Stephen Elliott celebrating that goal for Wexford, where he did a bit of breakdance on the sideline, check it out. It's up there online. They're home to Longford Town this week. Weekend at Lone Town, hosting Treaty United. Bray go to UCD. It's Kerry at Cove Rambers and Finn Harps entertaining Dundalk, who got off to a winning start last week. Lads, enjoy the weekend's football, and thank you for joining me. We'll speak to you next week.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball.